And it's very striking. I think we need to step back for a second and look at how and why it is that the Democratic Party is spearheading the move to get the TPP. Although I should say, in all fairness, that a significant percentage of House Democrats are opposed to the TPP. And if it passes, it'll pass with overwhelming Republican support and a minority of Democrats. But certainly, the Democratic Party president, Barack Obama, is campaigning and crusading for TPP in a way we would like to see him campaign and crusade for, let us say, other issues. That is to say, he drops references to the TPP into conversations he's doing, in any even unrelated conversations that he's having publicly. He's inviting members of Congress to the White House, Democratic members, and log rolling and twisting their arms, telling them that he'll campaign for them if they face a primary challenge. Of course, he's been criticized for not doing that kind of one-on-one or one-on-five kind of negotiation and arm-twisting, but he's doing it for the TPP. And I think we have to recognize that the Democratic Party is a very strange animal. It's a coalition between multiracial labor and big business, particularly big business that doesn't employ capital, that is to say, the investor class, people like George Soros, for example, who is a major funder of the Democratic Party. And the Republican Party, of course, is a coalition between white labor and white middle class and white big business. And so in that Democratic Party coalition, it's clear that big business calls the shots and calls the tune. And therefore, you have the spectacle of President Obama basically doing the bidding of big business, but in many ways doing the bidding of what is the Democratic Party.
Right. Now, there's, of course, a burgeoning labor resistance to the TPP. There's an organized effort to oppose the TPP among organized labor. Mm-hmm. But are they going to be able to prevail if the investor class and the wealthy donors to the Democratic Party eventually will have more say in what happens?
It's a good question. I mean, if you look at the business interests behind the TPP, it's agriculture, agribusiness in particular, which wants to particularly export more agricultural products to Japan, which is why Shinzo Abe, the Japanese prime minister, was just here the other day, and he's thus far resisting. High tech, what is referred to in Europe as GAFA, Google, Apple, Facebook, and Amazon, which wants to batter down what they perceive to be protectionist walls in Asia in particular. And then, of course, there is Big Pharma, which wants to sell more of their drugs abroad. But I think the overriding impulse for TPP is the fear of China. And Obama says as much. I mean, that's one of his talking points, that the United States needs this in order to compete with China, according to President Obama. But you should realize that what's next is the transatlantic free trade agreement. That is to say, a de facto merger of the European Union and the United States and Canada to try to confront China. But the problem is that with these trade agreements, the problem among others, is the lack of environmental safeguards, the fact that labor here is then matched against labor in developing countries like Vietnam, bring up that nation again, where wages are lower. And it puts downward pressure on wages here, leading to the kinds of scenes we've seen on television with regard to what's being played out in the streets of Baltimore.
Exactly. So in this race to the bottom, people from Freddie Gray's neighborhood don't really have a chance if they're going to be their value of their labor is going to be compared to someone in Vietnam or Bangladesh or wherever they can get the most labor for the cheapest dollar. So, war at home, war abroad. And I guess one part we haven't talked about in this is, well, you did mention it, just the budget for the Pentagon, the budget for the military-industrial complex, not really being impacted, you know, as we've gone through, what, like 10 years of recession now.
The Pentagon, although they try to cry the blues, they don't do a very impressive imitation. Crying the blues, because they have more money than they know what to do with. I mean, when you have these cost-plus contracts where these merchants of death, like Lockheed and all of the rest, can basically write the ticket as to what they get from our tax dollars, well, then who would not want a sweetheart deal like that? And then when you have people like Senator John McCain of Arizona and Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, a former presidential candidate, and Graham, a future presidential candidate, who are carrying water for the military-industrial complex and wielding a lot of influence on Capitol Hill, well, obviously we have a lot of work to do if we're going to reverse this grim scenario that we're facing. I think one of the strategies we might want to pursue with regard to the TPP is that if you look at those economic interests I pointed to, high-tech, big pharma, and agribusiness, high-tech pours a lot of money into Democratic Party coffers. Agribusiness, not so much. So it seems as if we could get more traction if we would really hammer agribusiness in terms of their participation in TPP, which means the senators from Minnesota, like Senator Al Franken, for example, who in Democratic Party terms is fairly progressive, or even the senators from California, since California is the headquarters of agribusiness with Feinstein and Boxer. If we can pressure them to come out more aggressively against TPP, and fortunately the labor movement in Los Angeles County is probably the strongest and most vibrant in the entire country, that we could get more traction with regard to turning the situation around.
Okay. So as we talk about getting traction, we are here to get traction as your station for Jazz and Justice here in the nation's capital. We are independent, listener-sponsored media, and you know that when you turn to 89.3, you're going to hear voices like Gerald Horn, Unbought and Unbossed. And he's here visiting us from Houston, Texas, where he teaches at the University of Houston. He's a frequent contributor across the Pacifica Network. And we have as a thank you gift his book, The Counter-Revolution of 1776, Slave Resistance and the Origins of the United States of America. And we have a hardcover, and it can be yours with at least a $75 contribution today that you can make by calling 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. You can also pledge on our website at www.wpfw.org. That's wpfw.org. We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. And in the meantime, call 202-588-9739, or if you're listening online, pledge right online at WPFW.org.
The name of this tune is Baltimore Goddamn, and I mean every word of it. New York got me so upset. Ferguson makes me lose my rest, and everybody knows about Baltimore Goddamn. Florida got me so upset. Chicago makes me lose my rest, and everybody knows about Baltimore, goddamn. Can't you see it? Can't you feel it? It's all in the air. I can't stand the violence much longer. Somebody say a prayer. New York got me so upset. Ferguson makes me lose my rest, and everybody knows about Baltimore, goddamn. This is not a show tune. This is real life. It's all over the news. You may have seen it too. Baltimore is more than the wire, but the lack of equality makes me wanna holler. Mothers losing their children to violence. Fear from snitching has everyone silent. Lord, have mercy on this land of mine. I pray the healing will happen in due time. It's not safe here, it may be safe there. Fear blinds you, somebody say a prayer. Don't tell me, I'll tell you. Reparations and atonement are overdue. I live in this reality, so I know. They keep on saying, go slow. Waiting for progress.
Too slow.
You'll get yours in time.
Too slow.
Why are you so angry?
Too slow.
We have a black president.
Too slow.
The end of racism.
Too slow.
You think I'm crazy?
Too slow.
Where am I going? What am I doing? I don't know. I don't know. Just try to do your very best. Stand up and be counted with all the rest. For everybody knows about Baltimore, goddamn. I mean, do we have to bring up the past? I mean, haven't you people healed from slavery and lynching? I mean, that was such a long time ago. Me, I'm a descendant of those who built this country for free. Oh, we don't want to acknowledge that so many promises made, but look at where we're at. Yes, you lied to me all these years, told me give my education and we will be peers, and speak the Queen's English like a fair lady, and you'd stop calling me Sister Pickaninny Sadie. Full of lies, they will be revealed in due time. I don't trust that you will help anymore. You keep on saying, go slow. But that's just the trouble.
Too slow.
Five acres and a mule.
Too slow.
Their education.
Too slow.
Women's rights.
Too slow.
Stop building those prisons.
Too slow.
Why don't you feel it? Why don't you see it? I don't know. I don't know. We can live next to each other, you see. And I claim my equality. Everybody knows about Ferguson. Everybody knows about New York. Everybody knows about Baltimore. God damn.
We're back here with Gerald Horn, and we're going to continue our discussion about Freddie Gray, war at home and abroad. So when we connect 50 years ago, you were here for this Vietnam conference, and when we connect that period to today, two links that we have from that period are, of course, Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X. And we just had May 1st, which is International Workers' Day. Mm-hmm. So when you think about those two men and these two periods, what are your thoughts?
Well, in terms of your specific question, what immediately comes to mind is the image of Malcolm X speaking at a labor strike rally in New York City of the hospital workers, Local 1199. I think about, as well, Martin Luther King saying 1199 was his favorite union. I think about the fact that both men were staunch opponents of the war in Vietnam, and it was particularly important that King came out for the war in Vietnam. That is to say that he felt that one could not, with an honest conscience, continually preach nonviolence when you're at a country, the United States of America, which he described as the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. And that contradiction, of course, not only drove his opposition to war, but it drove his opposition to the budget for war, the Pentagon budget. And therefore, in his dying days, he was marching on behalf of sanitation workers on strike in Memphis and trying to organize the Poor People's March right here in Washington, D.C., trying to force the U.S. government to commit to jobs or income now for these millions of poor people in the United States of America. And obviously, they were trying to draw the link between war abroad and impoverishment at home, and we still have that link in Baltimore. That is to say, how can the United States credibly still be involved in wars in Afghanistan, which they still are, despite rhetoric to the contrary, and Iraq, they still are, despite rhetoric to the contrary, and contemplating war with Iran, and yet in the Baltimores of the United States of America, you still have abandoned housing, you still have mass unemployment, you still have police brutality at a murderous level. So we need the descendants of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King to step up to try to carry on the legacy of those two particular individuals.
So we talked about the TPP earlier, but there's also the issue of, as you mentioned, the cutting of food stamps, the cutting of other public programs. How do you think that we actually confront this? I mean, we're coming up on a presidential election. There's a lot of people who believe that Hillary Clinton is the foregone, mm-hmm. they have this foregone conclusion that she's the Democratic nominee. And we certainly can't expect any relief from the whatever Republican nominee is produced, right? People are thinking about these issues because we have a deteriorating infrastructure. We have more and more of our resources not being put in places like Baltimore, but being put into armaments and war. So we don't really know what is the best route to combat this, to combat empire from inside.
Well, I think there's just so many different routes. I think about what's going on in Baltimore. And I would like to think that when hundreds of people turn up in the streets, that there is a level of organization involved. But certainly we need to step up our level of organization. Let's say on the police brutality front. There once was a time, say going back to the 1930s, when you had an international labor defense, which was an international movement that spearheaded the fight for the Scottsboro Nine, the nine black youth in rural Alabama in 1931 who were accused falsely of sexual molestation of 2 year-old American women are on the fast track to being executed before the intervention of the ILD. And they're organized. They have dues-paying members. They have conventions. They have staff. That was in the 1930s. Obviously, in 2015, given this epidemic of police violence, we need an analog to that. I mean, we need a Black Lives Matter movement that holds conventions, that has dues-paying members, that has membership cards, that has executive secretary, a chairperson of the board, that has paid staff, et cetera. I mean, that's what we really need. Mm-hmm. And that's on one front. We need, obviously, more tenants' unions. I mean, in certain cities, the skyrocketing of rents is just incredible. In fact, one of the major investment avenues for the sharks on Wall Street is now rental housing.
Exactly.
In fact, people are being pushed out of home ownership, and those homes are being bought by the sharks and then are rented to some of these
right
same
people.
Right
back to the people who lost
right,
their house.
Exactly.
Right.
And so the only way to combat that is through organization. I mean, in New York City, for example, for the longest time, you had the Metropolitan Council on Housing, which was an organization of tenants. Of course, in New York City, you have rent control. And one of the reasons you have rent control, which puts a cap on rents, it's because the Met Council on Housing would bring people to meetings and protests and have sit-downs and organize, et cetera. Even with regard to the dismal presidential politics that you just referenced, I have to say that even though it doesn't look bright for him, I'm heartened by the fact that Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont has thrown his hat into the ring. And even if I'm not as optimistic as Bernie Sanders is about his being able to wrest the nomination away from Secretary Clinton, I'm just heartened by the fact that he'll be able to introduce ideas and have a platform.
Exactly.
And being able to detoxify the term socialist, because, of course, he says he's a socialist. And I think it'll open up ideological space. Hopefully, it'll open up political space. So I think there are reasons for optimism. And then, of course, this indictment, this impending trial of these officers in Baltimore is also a reason for optimism.
So I've been talking to Gerald Horn, writer and activist, professor at the University of Houston. And he's joining us today for our fundraiser, the kickoff for On the Ground anyway. And, you know, this is actually our anniversary week. This week, last year, we went on the air May 1st, on
is
May
that
Day.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And so this is our anniversary week. And so if you haven't already made your pledge to On the Ground, the Thursday edition of Community Watch and Comment, go to the phones and dial 202-588-9739. That's or 1-800-222-9739. That's 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. And as a thank you gift, we have Gerald Horn's book, The Counter-Revolution of 1776, Slave Resistance and the Origins of the United States of America. And we have it for a pledge of $75. And we also have other premiums that you can ask the operator about. But whatever you do, go to the phone or go online and pledge right now, because I know that you appreciate everything that we try to bring to you in the past year. We're actually on the ground. We were in Baltimore. You heard our show last week. We've been on the streets of D.C. with the Black Lives Matter movement, with D.C. Ferguson. We have been just all over the city, all over Maryland, wherever we go every week to bring you sound from the streets, from the people. And because I know you support that, I want you to go to the phones and dial 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 or pledge online at WPFW.org. This is our first week of the fundraiser, and it's our anniversary, folks. We hope to bring you some updates from some of the stories and some of the issues we've covered. We know for sure that our very first show was covering a community in upstate New York that was trying to fight fracking in their town. Mm-hmm. And since then, fracking has been banned in New York State.
Is that right?
We were out in front of the FCC when people were trying to basically fight to save the internet for net neutrality, so that here at WPFW and across Pacifica, our internet signal, our listeners' access to us isn't treated differently mm-hmm. than access to Amazon mm-hmm. or Netflix or other places. So we've been on the ground covering these issues and covering them from a perspective that you won't hear in many outlets. Mm-hmm. So we want people to support Pacifica, support our survival, because our survival is very much connected to the survival of our community. Mm-hmm. We have to have a voice. We have to have mm-hmm. a place that is unbought and unbossed. We have to have a place where we can raise our voices, and not only so we can hear ourselves, but those in power can hear us. Mm-hmm. So we know that you appreciate that. So we're going to just ask you again to go to the phones and make your pledges. And we want to thank you before we go off the air. So this is a good time to call. Sometimes people call too late and we can't thank you. I would definitely want to thank you. We want to thank you. So please go to the phone and call 202-588-9739. Did you want to say something, Gerald, in closing about our subject matter or just folks supporting Pacifica?
Well, only that May 19th happens to be the birthday of Malcolm X, Ho Chi Minh, and Augusto Sandino, the national hero of Nicaragua.
Wow.
And that's an amazing confluence, and it seems to me that that in itself should be enough inspiration in the month of May for people to go to their phones and pledge to Pacifica. And I guess that's it.
Yes, and people may want to give gifts. Who knows? People may give gifts for Malcolm X's birthday or African Liberation Day.
African Liberation Day, May 25th, May 26th. That is to say, an internationally recognized date inaugurated by the Organization of African Unity, now the African Union, and the United Nations, celebrating the independence of Africa from colonialism, that scourge which helped to lead to our degradation for so many decades and so many centuries. I think that's worth celebrating. And once again, I'm more than willing to sign the book that you're offering as a premium and make sure that it's shipped to you in a timely fashion so that it can be a graduation gift, an anniversary gift, a wedding gift, or just a gift of one's love and affection.
That's right. Lots of graduations coming up. And what better gift to give than the gift of history and knowledge? So I want to thank our guest today, author and activist Gerald Horn. Thank you for joining us again today.
Thank you for inviting me.
And that will do it for us on Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition. I'm Esther Avam, and I want to give a special thanks to my guest, activist and author Gerald Horn, and thanks Katia Stitt and our engineer Mike Nasella. And thank you so much for listening to your station for Jazz and Justice and for your support. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You can keep calling in, and you can get a copy of Gerald Horn's The Counter-Revolution of 1776. All the Nations Until the Top of the Hour will help On the Ground meet its goal. That's 202-588-9739 is the number to call, or pledge right online at wpfw.org. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org, where you can now listen to all of our shows and past shows. Please like our Facebook and Twitter pages at On the Ground Show. Now stay tuned for the news, followed by Krista Property on the Thursday edition of Don't Forget the Blues. Raise your voice. As always, peace.